Our scripture today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts comes to the water, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Loving God, we thank you for your words. They're not just ink on paper. So much more. They're life. They're what fill us and sustain us. Help us to take it in fully, to be nourished and nurtured in the way that you would have us travel. We are your people, and we give you thanks. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. It's an amazing thing for me to see. But people come from all over the country, and in fact, all over the world. And you know where they end up meeting again after years and years sometimes? Yuma! Is that kind of amazing to you as well? I mean, it was striking to me. People would come up to me and they would say, "You can't believe who I ran into the other day at Fry's." Hopefully not literally, but that I ran into Fry's. You know, it's a friend of mine who went to second grade with me in such and such place in Idaho. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And people come from all over the place, from all sorts of wild, untamed locales like Oregon and Washington. And they travel. And they're hardy people from making it through places like that. They're strong, stock. And they connect here again, of all places. Well, you know, I had an experience whenever I was back in Pennsylvania of one of those moments that was not coincidence. It was God-led. And I believe those times whenever we get reconnected with people are not coincidence. They're God-led. I truly believe it. Yeah, does God care that much about us? Absolutely. You bet. If you ever doubt whether or not God cares that much about you, look at the cross. So I was sitting there drinking some coffee, and I looked out the window, and then I did a double take. And the guy who I saw did a double take also. And this is a guy I hadn't seen for years. And the good news is, after he saw me, he didn't keep going. He came back in, which was wonderful. If he'd kept going, I would have seen that as a sign from God as well. Clearly. But he came back in, and Dean, my brother in Christ, had turned his life over to God. It's as amazing as me turning my life over to God, really. Just one of those brothers. And he was telling me about his work, his mission, his ministry. He had a Christian gospel band, contemporary Christian, and he had put together a CD. Now, that's not particularly unusual, except that all the songs were original, and he did them in English, then he did them again in Chinese. It was fantastic to hear. Now, that's not the really amazing part. Dean also found himself giving a contemporary Christian concert over state-run TV in China. True story. Now, you wonder, how in the world could that happen? China, communist country. Know how they feel about God. Don't believe in God. However, there are underground Christians all throughout the Communist Party in China. And they were making this happen. Now, certainly, was it a challenge for them? No question about it. And there was kind of a hairy moment whenever they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get out of the country or not. But they did. They gave this concert because of how God was preparing the way, and who knows how many people were blessed to be able to hear the gospel, the good news, in that way. And he's good. He's a good singer, good writer as well. So we found ourselves continuing our conversation, of all places, at a Chinese buffet. I'm serious. And I had to ask him the question. I said, Dean, I had my plate full of, you know, all the stuff we get at Chinese buffets here. And I said, is this what our brothers and sisters in Christ eat in China? And he said, not even close. So, I apologize if I've burst your bubble that you think you're getting authentic Chinese food when you go to one of the buffets around here. You're not. Not even close. Also, there's this theory that some have shared with me that somehow after you eat a buffet, okay, and especially at a Chinese buffet, that they say, boy, I'm hungry again a couple hours later. Anybody ever have that experience? But really, any place we eat, like I was talking about with my young friends up here earlier, you know, no matter how much we eat, eventually we're going to have to eat again. All right? We're going to have to take that in. That's how our bodies work. We take in nutrition. God provides it for us. We take in water. God provides that for us. We take that in, and that's how we live. It's necessary. It's essential. In the scripture passage today, however, we're told that there is a way that we are fed. Our hunger is fed. Our thirst is quenched. That is everlasting. That never fades. That never goes away. We are told about being sustained and filled in a way that goes on and something that we can continue to pull from. You know, whenever you're doing work and you're making an effort and you're hungry, you start getting weak. Well, this is a filling. This is a quenching of the thirst that never goes away and will always be something that we can pull from because God is the source of that. God is the source of that sustenance. And God is the source of that grace that fills us. Not just our tummies, not just filling our throats, but filling our souls. And strengthening us to be His called people in the world. The scripture is written to and for a people in exile. A people separated from their homeland. What does that mean? Well, the Israelites had turned away from God. And they found themselves conquered, overwhelmed, overrun, and taken to a whole nother location. You can say that they were out of their comfort zone. Have you ever been there in life? Out of your comfort zone? Stretched, pulled in different directions, and in fact, maybe even feeling God leading you in a particular direction and not exactly sure because it kind of feels uncomfortable. Sometimes that's what happens. God does lead us in that direction or put us in that place of growth, not because it's necessarily going to feel good, but because it's going to help us grow stronger and to be able to rely more on Him and trust more in Him. You know, I think that's probably one of the bottom line problems when we don't trust God, isn't it? When we don't trust God, what do? We start creating it. We start making our own path. What happens sometimes with that? There's nothing theological about that, but I thought you could understand that. Whenever we start making our own path rather than following God's path, whenever we start saying, well, I think this is going to be a lot better, God. Thanks for the help. I got it now. Get ready. The Israelites taken into captivity. And now there is this word of hope that God loves them still and is ready to receive them back home. Not simply to their physical home, but back home so that they will be filled forever. So that they will be His people once again. There were those who were in captivity. And this had happened for a number of years, okay? This wasn't just a few years. There were people that were in captivity for generations, away, in exile. And there were some people that were doing quite well in life, okay? If you looked at them, they were well off. They were doing quite well in exile. And there was that group of individuals also, and I think it's interesting whenever we read this scripture passage, that this scripture is addressed to them as well, saying, even though you think you're doing well, you're still out on your own, not willing to follow God. Boy, that's challenging. That's really challenging. Whenever things are going well, and we need to stop and say, am I following God, though? That's a difficult question, isn't it? Certainly, it's easy to say, whenever things are going rotten, am I following God? But when it's going well, am I following God? As this scripture passage is offered, there's an image also that comes to my mind. Just how clear this message is communicated. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come and buy and eat. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen, and see this wonderful, amazing invention. It chops, it dices, it slices, it cleans your car. Some of you, I know, watch those info commercials. I know you don't have to raise your hand right now. Some of you even buy those products and you think, this is going to make my life easy. This is all I need. Who do we trust in? Who do we count on? Do we count on those in the world that are shouting at us most loudly saying, this product or that product or this thing or that way is just going to make us happy? Or are we willing to completely trust in God? I mean, completely. In the good times and the bad times. That's what this scripture passage is about. Trust in God. We're not in this alone. There's a hope in that. God is with us on the journey, and we have one another as well. Certainly, individuals can read this and receive these words of hope, but we as a church receive these words of hope as well. And there's a couple of questions that I really need to share with you. And I want to open with this particular thought before I share these questions. All we must bring to God. All we must bring to God. Each and every one of us. Think about your own life, your own situation right now. Is our thirst and hunger. Our deep desire for the gifts that only He can offer. That's what God needs for us. And here are the questions. These are good questions to ponder as we come to the table today. We're talking about things that sustain, that fulfill. And by this time in worship, you probably are thinking about one of the many restaurants that was mentioned, and that's okay with me. I understand. You're already making plans. But there's something that's offered. There's something that's offered this morning that is really going to sustain you. Communion. The table of the broken body and the shed blood. I'd mentioned earlier, if you wonder about how much God wants to be at work in your life, you look at the cross. You look at that. You remember that. And this table reminds us of that as well. Things that really fill us. Things that really sustain us. These two questions I'd like you to think about and consider. Do you identify fellowship with God, intimacy with God, as a deep need or as a luxury to pursue after other needs are met? That's a question. And then this might be even easier to answer. What are you spending money and time on that does not satisfy you in the end? This morning you might have a long list. I'm not sure. Maybe so. But what we have today is phenomenal. Because what God has provided always sustains, always strengthens, always fills us, and is thinking about the long term, about eternity with Him through Jesus. If I could have the communion stewards come forward at this time as we prepare ourselves. You know, Jesus said some extraordinary things. You can just stay right down there. I'll bring it to you right down there. Jesus said some extraordinary things, didn't He? And around that table, some of the most extraordinary, remarkable words. They were eating, and He said, "This is My body. It's broken for you. It's given for you individually. And as you receive this, you also become part of the body. You receive Me." This is wholesome. This is grace. This is healing. This is the body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And more extraordinary words, whenever He poured out the cup, and He said, "This is My blood shed for you." So that whenever you thirst, whenever your deepest thirst for communion with God comes into your life, you can understand that at this table, that thirst is met. The blood of Christ for forgiveness, for hope, a reminder of God's grace in our lives, shed for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards receive these elements of grace, you will be directed by the ushers to come forward. This is an open table. That means all of you are welcome. Each and every person is welcome to taste of God's love in your life once again.